Hi there, I'm Krish Saroy and welcome to the Sacred Wild Podcast. Each week I show you how to live your purpose and discover your own sacred wild spirit. On the podcast we explore the nexus point where nature, consciousness, leadership and activism come together. I talk with thought leaders to get their insights and wisdom about our collective transformation. I also show you how to own your power, give your gifts and make your highest impact on this world. So with that, let's dive into this next episode. Hi there, it's Krish here and welcome to another episode of the Sacred Wild Podcast. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I did an episode on human design, which is this really interesting system that is a map of the human energy field. And the purpose of that is in human design, there is the belief that we are born into this life perfect, so that we have all of the spiritual DNA we need to, with the right conditions and with the right circumstances, grow into the fullness of who we truly are and live our true selves on this planet. But I want you to kind of consider a different question, which is, what if your true self is actually held in your biology? And yes, that's right, folks. I actually mean, what if it's actually held in your physiology, as it were? Now, the reason I ask that question is I came across this thing many years ago called PH360, which stands for Personalized Health 360. And I was introduced to it by a friend called Chris, who I was trying to lose some weight at the time, and I was doing something in the UK called Slimming World. And she actually said to me, there's this different approach, and it's really interesting because it's completely personalized, and it will help you know which foods are best for you and what movement is best for you, all sorts of aspects to it, but it will give you a kind of complete approach to health as opposed to just trying to lose weight, which is far from the only component of being healthy, of course. So I took Chris at her word and started to look at this thing and came across this PH360. And I've been a long-term member since, I think, 2013. And I've worked with Anne Larson, who is the head of behavioral science and coaching at PH360, and an amazing therapist and coach in her own right. And it's been a really, really interesting journey. So I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit today about what my journey has been like. But, you know, let's start off with, what is PH360? Well, PH360 is a pretty cutting-edge health platform founded by a guy called Matt Riemann in 2012. And it uses things like epigenetics, a thing called anthropometry. I'm probably saying that completely wrong. Anthropometry. And also other lifestyle data to really help individuals kind of understand their unique health needs and really make informed decisions around diet, fitness, and lifestyle. Now, the thing about it is completely personalized because it uses things like body measurements, which is anthropometry, family history, and lifestyle habits to generate a health profile that's totally tailored to each person. So my health profile will never look the same as anyone else's. And one of the key aspects of it is it focuses on what's called your phenotype, which is your genetics in expression. So this is in the field of epigenetics. And epigenetics really refers to how your environment and your behaviors influence the way your genes are expressed. So what that means is when you get these kind of health recommendations, they're super tailored to you. And that other component is that anthropometry, which really is when you do a profile for PH360, unlike a lot of things like Myers-Briggs or SWE, you fill out an online questionnaire. What happens with PH360 is you get out a tape measure and you actually measure parts of the body and proportions of the body so that actually the platform understands your specific body type and offers targeted advice based on your actual body type, as it were. Now, PH360 actually looks at a whole bunch of different factors as well. So it looks at the food and the diet that's best for you, the kind of movement or exercise that's best for you. It also looks at environment and place, which is kind of what's the environment and place that you're going to thrive in, as it were. It looks at your genius, so you could call that purpose, as it were. So it looks at your gifts and your purpose. So whereas kind of human design and things like strengths look at it from a psychological or an energetic perspective, this is actually looking at it from a physiological perspective. It also looks at mind, which is kind of mindfulness and stress and how we cope with the day-to-day stresses of everyday life. And then it looks at our social needs. And this is often where we kind of will think of things like introversion and extroversion, but it's much wider than that as well. And it looks at what are the types of social needs that you actually have. Now, even though everyone's profile is completely and utterly personalized, it does throw up six different health types, which are broad buckets of people based on different aspects of the physiology. And they're often, you know, some of them have similarities to others, but they are also quite different. But even if you fall under one of these health types, you will be completely different to another person under the same health type, as it were. So the six health types are, starting from the top left-hand corner, we have activator, then we have connector, then guardian, then diplomat, sensor, and crusader. And each of those has relationships to the one next to it, but is quite different as well. The other thing to know about PH360 is it happens in real time. So what actually happens is you get out the tape measure and you update the questionnaire every 4 to 6 weeks or so. And it really takes into account the season, your location, real-time stress. It will take in data from different wearables like my Apple Watch through Apple Health. And it throws out recommendations throughout the day based on different aspects. And the kind of things it looks at are not only each of those factors like food and movement, but it also looks at things like chronobiology, which is the biology of timing. Now, you might have heard things about being an early bird or being a night owl, that kind of thing. Well, that's affected by our physiology as well, and it really takes that into account. So it's really, really interesting that there is this map that updates in real time that is based on the physiology of who you are. And when I first came across this, it was the first time I really got the sense of how psychology, energy, and physiology fit together. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about my experience with it, because it's been really fascinating for me. I'm what's known as a diplomat. So a diplomat is part ectomorph, part endomorph. Now, those words might not mean anything to you, but basically an ectomorph is kind of the large body type. So that means I gain mass very easily, and that mass may be fat or muscle. So it's very easy for me to gain weight, as it were, and not very easy to lose it. But I'm also part ectomorph, which means that my levers, otherwise known as my arms and my legs, tend to be a little bit more lean, as it were. So I don't have necessarily the same size of muscle or mass on my arms and legs that I have on the rest of my body. Now, what was really interesting about this is diplomats apparently are what's called an energy conservation type. So if you think about this, back in the days of our ancestors, and I'm talking like back in the time when we were cave people, there would be certain types that would be the hunters. They would go off and hunt animals and all that kind of thing. And there would be certain types that would stay in camp and look after the village or look after the settlement, that kind of thing. Now, those types who were the hunters, they would need to be fast. They would need to be lean. They'd need to have endurance. And they would need to be able to burn energy quickly. So they are the energy burning types. And so what would happen is if the hunt wasn't, say, successful, then those energy burning types, they would have very little fat on their body. They would be the first ones that would need to eat. So epigenetics said that there were certain types that stayed in the camp. It meant we held mass so that if a hunt or food were scarce, then we would be able to survive longer. We would conserve energy and we'd put on mass so that the people who hunted would be able to eat what was there. So there is this notion of there are certain body types that naturally conserve energy. And that's a world of difference as a message from just saying if you're fat and you've got no willpower. It's a very different thing. And the thing is, our genetics are based on hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years of development. And so when our ancestors were worried about whether they were going to be able to get food or not, obviously now we live in a Western world, certainly, where most of us in the Western world don't have any issues with regards to scarcity of food or scarcity of means. What that means is, essentially, we live in what's called an obesogenic world. In other words, there is plenty available, but my physiology is built to conserve energy. Now, that's not a quote-unquote excuse for body type or whatever, but it is a way of kind of going, wow, actually, we live in a world now that my body type struggles with. So that's something to know, and that information is power, right? So that's really helped with my identity. I've basically battled with food addiction and identity around basically being a larger person for years, and just knowing that really helps me to know that it's not just about diet and willpower, that there are other aspects in this as well, and there are other aspects of my health that if I take care of and attend to those are going to help me to be much more healthy in a rounded way, and they're going to help me to find my right weight and find my right fitness and that kind of thing. For each type, there is a hierarchy of needs as well. So that food, movement, place, genius, mind, social, each type has a different hierarchy of where those fit. So for example, for the crusader, genius and mission is everything. For the activator, which is all about movement and burning up adrenaline, movement is everything. For diplomats, it's about place. What that means is, for a diplomat, we are really built to thrive in nature. We kind of almost have this spirit animal of the bison. And if you think about it, bisons exist on the plains. They want a peaceful existence. So for diplomats, we naturally exist in nature. We're not built for big cities or built up areas. We're built for forests or the ocean or mountains. And to be honest, for me, a big part of this has been why David and I are spending so much time in Canada. For me, when I come to Canada and I have this wide open expanse, and diplomats need a lot of space in their mind. We can get our heads can get very full very quickly, and we ruminate. Think about that, you know, bison ruminating as well. We need lots of space, mental space, and that's helped by having lots of physical space out there in the wilderness. And that has made a whole difference to my health. I can't even begin, and certainly my mental health, I can't even begin to describe. Another aspect of this that I mentioned earlier is chronobiology. Now, diplomats are naturally night owls. We naturally stay up later, and we naturally get up later. Now, again, this goes against the norm. We actually live in an activator and crusader-led world right now. That's kind of where we exist. And crusaders and activators are early birds. They get up early, and they go, and then they fall over early. Most of us work in that 9-to-5 world, but diplomats are not necessarily built for that. The way we're actually built is we're built to be like cruise liners. That was what was described to me. So if you think about a cruise liner, it pulls out slowly from the dock and it takes time to get up to speed, and off it goes. But eventually it gets up to speed and it keeps on going until it stops. So that's the way it works for me. I need really slow mornings. I take most of my meetings later on in the day. I do most of my heavy lifting work actually later on in the afternoon, because I'm at my most creative and my most innovative late afternoon and in the evening. That's not going to work for everyone, but it means for me going to bed around midnight at 1 o'clock and waking up around 8 a.m. is perfect. And again, it's just given me stuff to play with here. Now, what's really interesting around that is I used to kind of try exercising in the morning, and, you know, that notion of let's exercise in the morning, get it out of the way, because then it's done. Start your day off well. Well, actually, that doesn't work well for me, and that doesn't work well for diplomats, because that creates a massive spike of cortisol, the stress hormone, which actually causes my body and the body of diplomats and guardians to hold on to energy. And that doesn't help us with insulin resistance. So actually, in that case, exercise actually causes us to hold on to weight rather than lose weight, as it were. I actually tried this with a diplomat client that I had, who is a triathlete who used to train in the mornings. And we just experimented with changing her training to the afternoon. According to PH360, her optimal training window is kind of 2 to 4 p.m. So she started training in that 2 to 4 p.m. window. And just by changing her window, she started to get 5 to 10% performance gains just based on changing the time alone. Nothing else changed, but her performance improved by 5 to 10%. It was incredible. I think one of the biggest things that PH360 has shown me, though, is around relationships. Now, different relationships with different health types, as it were. it's really helped me in my coaching practice. For example, I have a particular client who struggles with ADHD, but is a brilliant person in their own right. But they are also a connector in PH360, and connectors are super social. They are driven by the hormone oxytocin, which is kind of the social hormone. It's the same hormone that gets triggered and released when we give someone a hug and we feel really good. So connectors are really like pack animals, as it were. They work really well with social support. So we started to set up social accountability and social support systems, and that made all the difference. And that wouldn't work for everyone. That's the thing to really note here. And so now when I coach people, I really try to note who they are from a health type perspective. And that really helps to know how to coach them as well. There's another example that I have, which is I had a really great working relationship with a colleague back in Silicon Valley who we co-created really, really well. But there would be times when we would clash, like in any work relationship, right? There'd be times when it just wouldn't work. And what would happen is we'd be co-creating together and we'd be on a project and we'd be making great strides. And this colleague was a crusader. And crusaders are mission-driven. They are the racehorses. That's their spirit animal. And they want to go from A to B as quickly as possible. Because as they do that and as they achieve goals, they get a hit of dopamine, and crusaders are ruled by dopamine. So every time they achieve a goal, they get that hit of dopamine. And dopamine is that kind of progress, that kind of achievement hormone, as it were. And we all have it, but crusaders especially, they are ruled by that. Now, the thing for me is, as a diplomat, genius is my second hierarchical need. So I have place first, then genius. But think about those two power animals for a second, a racehorse and a bison. A bison can stampede for a while, but only for a short period of time, whereas a racehorse is built to run. So here we would be a crusader and a diplomat working together really, really well. But what would happen is the racehorse, the crusader, would speed up more and more because they were getting this hit of dopamine. But what would happen to me is I would be getting those spikes of dopamine as well. But diplomats are ruled by serotonin. And serotonin is what's called the happy hormone. Again, we all have it, but something I hadn't realized was too much dopamine actually kills serotonin. It actually negatively impacts serotonin. So I would be getting all this kind of, yay, we're achieving stuff. And then I would start to get symptoms of depression. And what was happening was I was using up my serotonin far too quickly. And the way antidepressants work, for example, is they help to stop serotonin from being used too quickly. So I was finding that I was starting to take on these, I wasn't actually depressed, I just had these symptoms, I was using up my serotonin too quickly. So I would start to slow down, and where the conflict would come would be this crusader just wanting to crusade ahead, as in the name, and I would be slowing down. And from a pure psychological perspective, you could say, you know, there's a personality clash there. Actually, it's in our biology. It's absolutely fascinating. So no one's wrong in this at all. It wasn't me being obtuse and trying to slow down, and it wasn't the crusader like being obtuse and trying to like push ahead. We're hardwired to do this. And for me and for the crusader, when we got this, it was like, oh my God, this is actually in our bodies. This is hardwired. It's not just a personality clash. It's a physiology difference. So that's really, really big. And so that just kind of gives an illustration of, in the same way human design says, we're not all built the same. This is the same. This is true here as well. I think the final thing I just want to share about PH360, which I think is really important for health and well-being and all that kind of stuff, is we still exist in a diet-obsessed world. And as someone who packs some extra pounds, that is a pressure I feel all the time. And I know a lot of you out there do as well. PH360 actually has a really interesting take on this. So as a diplomat, I have what's known as a long gut tube. So in other words, I have a long digestive system. So what that means is that has an impact on the kind of foods I should be eating and how I should be eating. So for me, my optimal way of eating is to have a good break of 6 hours between meals, and maybe even have two meals a day. So fasting is really good for me. So intermittent fasting is brilliant. But The opposite type, the activator, has the short gut tube, so they metabolize food really quickly. So they're the archetypal health type that need to eat several meals a day. They need to keep fueled up. So what we're seeing here is there is no one-size-fits-all. So you've seen the mass media about, you know, keto and low-carb and the zone diet and this, that, and the other. Well, the keto diet works really well for activators. It doesn't work really well for diplomats. Diplomats work really well with a very plant-rich diet. In fact, almost vegetarian or vegan. Because our digestion is so efficient, because we conserve energy, we take all the nutrients we need out. So we need less fuel to actually get our nutritional needs met. Whereas activators, they digest really fast, so they need lots of food. And they are the ones who can literally eat loads and not put on any weight whatsoever. But the point is here that there is no one-fits-all diet. So when you kind of hear that keto is the greatest thing, or that low-carb is the greatest thing, or low-fat, or whatever that is, there are different diets that will work differently for different health types. So, for example, crusaders really need crunchy carbs to really fuel their brain. So because they're so purpose-driven, they're constantly thinking, and the brain needs fuel. Now, the best fuel for the brain is carbohydrates. So crusaders really need carbohydrates. So therefore, a low-carb diet is not going to be optimal for them. It's going to actually impinge on their cognitive function they need so much of. So I just wanted to share some of those things from my experience, because I'm seeing this for me, but I'm also seeing it for other people as well. And I've actually become a PH360 coach, not because I particularly want to coach people on health, but because I find it so fascinating. That's another thing about diplomats. We love learning. We love connecting the pieces, as it were. We're what's known as dendritic learners. Think of knowledge as being like a tree. We connect all the leaves and the twigs and the branches and all that kind of thing. So I find it really fascinating personally. So I wanted to share that with you as a way of maybe thinking, if something like human design doesn't resonate for you, because it is based on energy, it's based on astrology, the I Ching, the chakras, the Kabbalistic tree of life. So that's not going to appeal to everyone. But PH360 is based on the latest cutting edge science around health and that kind of stuff. But for me, it's still a map back to self. It's still a map back to our true self and who we truly are and how we're changing over time. We're all completely different, even within PH360, as I mentioned earlier. If you're the same health type as someone else, you might even find, because it's based on this 360 wheel, you might have someone who is the same placement on the wheel as you, but it's still going to be completely different. But what having a real-time map does is it really helps you to really come back to yourself, who you truly are in the world. And it really looks at your health, your well-being, in the widest, fullest sense. It's a true 360 degree view of health. And I think that is really worth knowing about. As with everything, this is still very much an emerging field, and kind of tailoring health advice to kind of an individual's personal unique needs and who they are is really intriguing. But it is, having said all of this, it's really important to consult qualified healthcare professionals before making any significant changes to your diet or your lifestyle. But I hope this introduction to PH360 and to personalized health and the notion that actually your true self might be in your genetics has piqued your interest in this world of personalized health. So with that, I'd love to thank you for listening in to the Sacred Wild podcast, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, take care and stay curious. Bye for now. Thank you so much for joining me on the Sacred Wild podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and got something meaningful out of it. And if you did, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Those reviews really help us out, and they're what keep us here. Also, please make sure to hit subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and loved ones. And with that, many blessings, and I look forward to seeing you next time on the Sacred Wild podcast. Bye for now.